السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وأصلي وأسلم على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين، نبينا وحبيبنا وقرة أعيننا محمد بن عبد الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه أفضل الصلاة وأتم التسليم، أما بعد. فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في قرآنه العزيز بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم: يا أيها الناس اعبدوا ربكم الذي خلقكم والذين من قبلكم لعلكم تتقون. وقال تعالى أيضا: يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. وقال تعالى أيضا: يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. We commence by praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is no doubt our creator, sustainer, nourisher, protector and curer. We ask Him, the Almighty, to shower His choicest of blessings and salutations upon our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, his family members, his companions and all those who tread upon his path with utmost sincerity until the day of Qiyamah. My dear brothers and sisters in Islam, the online viewers, the viewers from the local television channels, inshallah ta'ala, today we are going to be talking about a very, very important concept. It is so important that it is the ultimate objective behind Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala creating each and every one of us. And the ayah in focus, the ayah that we are going to focus and critically study today, is the ayah that I started off the recitations with. يا أيها الناس اعبدوا ربكم الذي خلقكم والذين من قبلكم لعلكم تتقون. This is the ayah that we're going to be talking about, inshallah ta'ala. So let's start off by translating the ayah, and then I'll go on to mention the concept and talk about the concept. Allah Azza wa Jal, He states, يا أيها الناس. Look at the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is addressing all of us. يا أيها الناس, O mankind. So this is a declaration to the entirety of mankind. Because in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addresses us in different ways. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at times addresses us, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, O you who have brought in iman, O you who have believed. Now in this particular ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addresses the entirety of mankind. Ya ayyuha nas, O mankind, U'budu rabbakum, worship your Lord, الَّذِي خَلَقَكُمْ, the one who created you all, وَالَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ, and the ones before you all. As you all know, there were many generations that preceded us from the time of our father Adam alayhi salatu wasalam. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is addressing the entirety of mankind, وَالَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ, and now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the purpose, لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ, so that you bring in taqwa, so that you adopt taqwa, so that you become from the people of taqwa. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us all from the people of taqwa. Ameen. My dear brothers and sisters in Islam, this word taqwa, the term taqwa, it has been mentioned roughly almost around 258 times in the Noble Quran. 258 times in the Quran. It has been mentioned as a verb in the Arabic language, as a fi'al, around 182 times. Say for example, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states, فَاتَّقُوا النَّارَ الَّتِي وَقُودُهَا النَّاسُ وَالْحِجَارَةُ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states, فَاتَّقُوا النَّارَ. Fear, in the sense adopt taqwa, we'll talk about the definitions of taqwa, but here we will loosely translate it as fear the fire. the blazing fire of Jahannam. فَاتَّقُوا النَّارَ الَّتِي وَقُودُهَا النَّاسُ وَالْحِجَارَةُ. It's fuel. What is used to fuel that fire is mankind. Mankind will be used as well as stones. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us all. So there, as you can see, it has been used in the form of a verb, a command verb, fear. Exercise caution. It's a command verb, a fi'al. Yani, it's an amr fi'al. You understand? And in terms of it coming as a noun, in the form of a noun in the Noble Quran, roughly around 76 times. So 182 plus 76, it comes around in the Noble Quran to a total of 258 times. In terms of it coming as a noun, say for example, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states in the Noble Quran, وَتَزَوَّدُوا فَإِنَّ خَيْرَ الزَّادِ التَّقْوَىٰ وَاتَّقُونِ يَا أُولِي الْأَلْبَابِ. وَتَزَوَّدُوا, take provisions. فَإِنَّ خَيْرَ الزَّادِ التَّقْوَىٰ. But indeed, the best provision is the taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Is the taqwa of Allah azza wa jal. So here, as you can see, فَإِنَّ خَيْرَ الزَّادِ التَّقْوَىٰ. The term has come about in its nominal form as a noun. So you have in total, like I said, 258 mentions, roughly around 258 mentions of this particular concept, taqwa. So how do we go about now defining taqwa? Now, taqwa is an Arabic term that stems from the root waqa, yaqi, wiqaya in the Arabic language, which means to put up a barrier, to put up a prevention, to prevent something, to put up a barrier to protect you from something. This is the literal definition of taqwa. Because when you talk about Arabic terms, especially in the books of tafsir, in the books of fiqh, in the books of hadith, you generally have a literal definition where you would say that this definition is in its lughatan sense, a literal definition, and then you have a technical definition as well to every term. Let me give you an example as examples bring about clarity. The term as-salah. The term as-salah in the Arabic language, if you were to define it literally, it means dua. Literally, it means dua. Making dua unto Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As for its technical definition, you would say it is a set of prescribed actions and statements that commence with the takbiratul ihram, where you say Allahu Akbar, and end with the taslim, assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullah, assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullah. This is the technical definition of as-salah. Likewise, taqwa has a literal definition as well as a technical definition. The literal definition, like I said, is to put up a barrier, to put up something to protect you. Okay? To exercise caution. To exercise caution. As for its technical definition, just in the Noble Quran itself, there are roughly around 15 different meanings that have been given to taqwa, and we will come to those meanings, inshallah ta'ala, very swiftly. Let's talk about the literal definition a little bit, because the literal definition and the technical definition in terms of taqwa don't vary too much. It is to exercise caution. It is to be careful. Do you know that, you know, without knowing, we actually apply taqwa in our lives in a number of ways, in different places, in different contexts, except for the place where we are supposed to actually be adopting taqwa. Where we are supposed to be applying taqwa, at times we fail to do so, but in a number of other places, we adopt taqwa without knowing. Let me give you a few examples. Take your mobile phones. Mobile phones. How many of you all have got iPhones? Hands up. iPhones. Let's see if everybody's awake or everybody's hungry, they're waiting for iftar. iPhones, hands up. Not many iPhones. All right. Samsung's, hands up. Samsung. MashaAllah, good crowd. All right. It's a lot of Android lovers. Okay, Samsung. Now these days we talk about the iPhone 6 or 6S, Samsung Note 5, S7, all these expensive mobile phones. They're roughly around $1,000. They are not cheap, they are expensive. So we, all of us mostly have expensive mobile phones. Would you leave your mobile phone just lying around in the masjid? Would you just throw your mobile phone somewhere and go if you're going? Or are you very careful with your mobile phone to make sure that what? It's always with you, you keep checking it as to whether it's in your pocket or not. We all do that, don't we? So you are actually practicing taqwa with your mobile phone. You're practicing taqwa with your mobile phone. Let's take it a step further. We practice taqwa with our mobile phones, and we also add an extra layer of taqwa. How so? With the password. We add a password, or now we have the fingerprint sensor, so we have a fingerprint password. And sometimes we have two layers of password where you have to put the fingerprint and then add in a password as well that consists of a alphanumerical combination where you have numbers, words, a long password. Now why are we doing this? Because the men, they don't want their wives prying into their phones. The women, they don't want their husbands prying into their phones. So we are adding an extra layer of taqwa on our mobile phones. What about your laptops? You don't like people prying into your laptops. So we have passwords across our laptops as well. We are adding a layer of taqwa. What about your vehicles? If you've got a car, if you've got a motorbike, you're careful. You make sure that when you're coming into the masjid that you lock it. Why? Because you don't want somebody stealing it. You don't want somebody robbing from you. So you're adding a layer of taqwa. What about your homes? Would you leave your home unlocked and would you come to the masjid? Would you go to work leaving your home unlocked? No, we lock it. We double lock it. And we make sure, we check the lock to make sure that it is locked. We're adding layers of taqwa. Do you see? So without knowing, we're actually practicing taqwa in our lives, except for the fact that we don't practice it where it's supposed to be practiced. And that is in regard to our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which we are going to be talking about insha'Allah ta'ala. So like I said, in terms of the literal definition of taqwa, we do practice it. But in terms of the technical definition, there are almost around 15 definitions that have been cited by the scholars of tafsir in the Noble Quran, which we are going to talk about insha'Allah ta'ala. Meaning number one, is that it gives the meaning of Tawheed and Iman. Tawheed and Iman. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He states in Surah Al-Fath,
فَأَنزَلَ اللَّهُ سَكِينَتَهُ عَلَىٰ رَسُولِهِ وَعَلَىٰ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَأَلْزَمَهُمْ كَلِمَةَ التَّقْوَىٰ.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent down His Sakina upon the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and upon the believers, and He made them stick to the word of taqwa, kalimat al-taqwa, to the word of taqwa. Now this kalimat al-taqwa has been interpreted as kalimat al-tawheed. La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. There is no deity, no God worthy of worship other than Allah, and then Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is His messenger. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Meaning number two, very swiftly. It gives the meaning of ikhlas. It gives the meaning of ikhlas. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in Surah Al-Hajj,
ذَلِكَ وَمَنْ يُعَظِّمْ شَعَائِرَ اللَّهِ فَإِنَّهَا مِنْ تَقْوَى الْقُلُوبِ.
Now that is so, and whoever honors the symbols of Allah, شَعَائِرَ اللَّهِ, the symbols of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, indeed that is due to the taqwa of their hearts. That is due to the taqwa of their hearts. You respect the Quran, you respect Islam, you respect another believer. You do all of this because of the taqwa that is in your heart. Because of the ikhlas that is in your heart. You're doing it for whom? You're doing it for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You're doing it to please Allah azza wa jal. So it gives the meaning of ikhlas. Another meaning that it gives is that it gives the meaning of ibadah and ta'ah. Ta'ah in the sense obedience unto Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah Azza wa Jal mentions in the Noble Quran the statement of Nuh alayhi salatu wa salam,
إِذْ قَالَ لَهُمْ أَخُوهُمْ نُوحٌ عَلَىٰ تَتَّقُونَ.
And remember, when their brother Nuh, the Prophet Noah alayhi salatu wa salam, when he said to his people, أَلَىٰ تَتَّقُونَ, do you all not bring in taqwa? Will you all not adopt taqwa? In the sense, will you all not worship Allah? Will you all not render ibadah unto Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And in another place, Allah Azza wa Jal states,
"An أَنذِرُوا أَنَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا أَنَا فَاتَّقُونَ.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states, warn mankind that لا إله إلا أنا, that there is no one worthy to be worshipped other than I. So adopt taqwa by worshipping me, by staying away from evil and adopting to the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Another meaning that can be suited for taqwa is the definition tawbah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in Surah An-Nur,
وَمَن يُطِعِ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ وَيَخْشَ اللَّهَ وَيَتَّقِهِ فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْفَائِزُونَ.
وَمَن يُطِعِ اللَّهَ, those who obey Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَيَخْشَ اللَّهِ, and they fear Allah, وَيَتَّقِهِ, and they bring in taqwa, فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْفَائِزُونَ, they are the ones who are victorious. The ones who fear Allah and turn back to Allah in tawbah. Scholars like Imam Fakhruddin al-Razi, Imam al-Shawkani, rahimahullah, all have commented in this regard that this taqwa in this ayah denotes tawbah, turning back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in sincere tawbah. So my dear brothers and sisters in Islam, to loosely translate taqwa as the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would suffice at times. But in general, from here we understand that the term taqwa encompasses so many other meanings. It is to bring in tawheed, it is to bring in the fear of Allah, the consciousness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because if one were to say that taqwa is just the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, personally I feel that it would not suffice. Because fear, interestingly, is an attribute that is not present with us 24/7. It is not an attribute that is present with us 24/7. I may have mentioned this earlier. When you're talking about fear, how many of us fear, how many of you all fear a lion? Lion, snakes, serpents, we're all scared of these animals, yes or no? Like say for example, if a lion were to come into the masjid right now, which is going to be a very rare thing in the Maldives because you don't have lions here. But if you were living in a country where you have jungles and you have thickets in the woods, if a lion were to come rampaging into the masjid, what would we all do? Would we calmly, oh, it's a lion, mashallah, hi lion. We wouldn't be like that. We would all run away. We would run helter-skelter. If a serpent, a snake were to come in, we would run away. Why? Because we're scared. But does that mean that every single day in the morning when we wake up and when we look into the mirror, that we look into the mirror and say, oh, I'm scared of a lion, I'm scared of a lion, I'm petrified of a lion, I'm scared of snakes, I'm scared of snakes. We don't repeat this. But when the object of our fear manifests, when it comes, then the fear sprouts. But it is not with us 24/7. Now, can this be the case with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Can this be the case with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Can we have the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala only when we want to have the fear of Allah azza wa jal? No, it is something that is supposed to be with us 24/7. Another interesting thing in regard to the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that when you see a lion, okay, generally when you see an object of fear, okay, say for example the lion, would you run towards the lion or run away from the lion? Would you run towards the lion? You see a lion and you run to the lion to hug the lion. Or would you run away from the lion? Would you run away? We obviously will run away. Yes? If you see a snake, nobody's going to run towards the snake. We would run away from the snake. We run away from our fears. We run away from our objects of fear. But in the case of the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the more you fear Allah, do you run closer to Allah or away from Allah? You run closer and closer to Allah. The more you fear Allah, you run towards Allah and not away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's the amazing thing in regard to khashyatullah, the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala open the doors of understanding for all of us. Ameen. So my dear brothers and sisters in Islam, now that I've mentioned that fear is not something that is with us 24/7, we join and merge something else with the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that is known as the consciousness of Allah azza wa jal. The consciousness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Where we're conscious 24/7. Now this is something that can be present with us 24/7. Where we're always conscious of Allah azza wa jal. In regard to the commandments of Allah. In regard to the prohibitions of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There was once a person who went to, if I'm not mistaken, Abu Huraira radiallahu an, or Ubay ibn Ka'ab radiallahu an, and asked him to define taqwa. He asked him, what is taqwa? Now this sahabi radiallahu an, al-Jaleel, he said to him, Have you ever walked down a thorny path? The man, he replied in the affirmative. He said, yes, I have walked down a thorny path. Why? So then the Sahabi radiallahu anhu asked him, so what did you do whilst walking down this thorny path? The man said, well, I gathered my clothing together and I made sure that I made my way very gingerly and carefully down the path so as to avoid snagging my clothing onto the thorns that were present in the path. Then the Sahabi radiallahu anhu said, that is taqwa. Now scholars write in terms of this example, the path is this life that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed each and every one of us with. We've all been given life by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Our destination is al-akhirah, where we're going to live forever and ever. This path is very short, Because according to the words of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, أَعْمَارُ أُمَّتِي, the lifespan of my ummah is between 60 to 70 years. A very short life that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us. We are supposed to use this life to secure investments that will reap great profits and rewards for us in the hereafter, where we are going to abide forever and ever. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all Jannatul Firdaus. Ameen. So my dear brothers and sisters in Islam, you're walking down the path, that is, you're making your way down this life. You have to be careful that you make your way very carefully, exercising caution, because the thorns are the muharramat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the prohibitions of Allah azza wa jal. Say for example, Allah says in the Noble Quran, وَلَا تَقْرَبُوا الزِّنَا إِنَّهُ كَانَ فَاحِشَةً وَسَاءَ سَبِيلًا, that do not even think of getting close to zina. وَلَا تَقْرَبُوا الزِّنَا إِنَّهُ كَانَ فَاحِشَةً وَسَاءَ سَبِيلًا, and the ayah continues. Now Allah did not say in the Quran, do not commit zina, but instead He said, don't even think of getting close to zina. Don't even think of getting close to zina. So you see the thorn of zina, you move away from it. That is taqwa, where you exercise caution and move away from it. So think about it. You've got a path that is full of thorns. Can you walk down that path absent-mindedly? Can you walk without thinking? You can't. You have to walk very carefully where you're observing, you're very diligent. You have to be conscious of the thorns. This is taqwa. Throughout our lives, we can never ever remain absent-minded. We have to always be careful, thinking, because shaitan is out there waiting to snag us with the thorns. So we have to be careful and move away from the thorns and make our way carefully down the path. Now, how can one improve taqwa? How can one improve taqwa, the fear and the consciousness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Well, the more you know Allah, the more you know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the more you will fear Allah, the more you will be conscious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So how does one go about knowing Allah azza wa jal? Primarily, you have to seek knowledge. Study about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the sense, study about the names of Allah azza wa jal. Study about the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The more you study about Allah Azza wa Jal, the more your heart will be filled with the awe and fear for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The more you will bring in taqwa into your life. And secondly, you have to study the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala around you and within you. The more you look around and observe the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the more you will be filled with the grandeur and the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in your heart. Look around you, look at all these amazing and beautiful creations that you see around you. The ocean, the mountains, the heavens, the stars, the celestial objects. Look around you, the animals, the birds, the fish. Every single creation around you indicates towards the greatness and the grandeur of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Towards the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Every tree that you see, every plant that you see, every leaf that you see, indicates towards the greatness of Allah Azza wa Jal. And at times, my dear brothers and sisters in Islam, we don't necessarily have to look around us to understand the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It would suffice if you were to look within yourself. Within yourself. The other day I was reading an article that had some amazing facts about the human body. Amazing facts. And I thought of just sharing those facts with you all, because these are just mind-boggling facts. I'm sure you would just be blown away with these facts. Listen to the facts. Did you know that a drop of blood contains 250 million cells within it? Just one drop of blood. 250 million cells. Did you know that a healthy liver processes around 720 liters of blood per day? A healthy functioning liver processes around 720 liters of blood per day. Those who may be suffering from liver problems, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us from that disease. May Allah azza wa jal ease the suffering for those who are suffering from that disease. Ameen. Please say ameen. You would know what a great difficulty they undergo. Those whose kidneys are failing, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ease the situation for them. Ameen. They have to go through a process known as dialysis, where their blood is generally sent through a machine, and this machine purifies the blood and puts it back into their body. The entire process takes around 4 to 5 hours. 4 to 5 hours. And depending on that individual's condition, it may have to be done 3 to 4 times a week. You have to go sit down in a hospital, plug yourself into a machine, and you have to wait for 4 to 5 hours for that machine to do the process. And it does not do a perfect job. It involves a lot of pain, and it, on the long run, it affects your immune system. But do you know, whilst you're seated here listening to me and whilst I'm talking to you all, our kidneys are functioning within our bodies and doing that process? Allahu Akbar. Our kidneys, tiny things, they're functioning within our bodies and purifying our blood. Our liver mechanism is, you know, purifying our blood. Allahu Akbar. Look at the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Did you know that a human body contains almost around 200,000 temperature detectors, like thermometers, if you will, to make sure that our body is in a comfortable state? And that's why we feel cold at times. We feel the heat at times. When we feel hot, what do? We go and take a shower. We won't necessarily bundle ourselves. We won't wear a jacket when it's hot, because we feel hot. When we feel cold, what do? We grab the blankets, we put on the heater, we put on a jacket to make sure that our body's temperature is maintained. There are roughly around 200,000 temperature sensors in your body. Allahu Akbar. Did you know that a human body has almost around 500,000 touch detectors, touch sensors? Now, your mobile phones, you have touch sensors wherever you touch your phone. And now if you take the iPhone 6S and 6S Plus, you have something known as Force Touch, 3D Touch, where you press and hold and you get a different feature, a different menu pops up. You have Force Touch. But did you know that in your body you have almost around 500,000 touch detectors, that if, say, for example, an ant were to crawl on your feet or on your hand, you immediately know that something is crawling on your body. Why 500,000 touch detectors spread across your entire body? Who put it there for you? Did Samsung put it for you? Did Apple put it for you? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. 500,000 touch detectors. A human ear. Did you know that a human ear contains almost around 24,000 fibers in it? Fibers to help you hear perfectly. Allahu Akbar. Did you know? This is interesting. A single human sperm contains almost around 37.5 MB of male DNA required to create a human child. 37.5 MB of data is stored within one male sperm. And then doctors go on to state, that means that an average ejaculation of sperm sees the transfer. When a male ejaculates sperm, that sees the transfer of almost 1,500 terabytes of information. When sexual intercourse takes place, 1,500 TBs. You know, 1 TB is 1,000 GB. Now you have hard disks this size that has 1 TB, 1,000 GB. 1,000 GB, I can ask the videographers, they will tell you, HD content, you can record hours and hours. Hours and hours of HD content in 1 TB. But in one session of ejaculation, 1,500 terabytes are being processed. Allahu Akbar. 1,500 terabytes. Where is the server storage space? Where is the storage SSD, if you will, or the hard disk space? Within one ejaculation, 1,500 terabytes. Allahu Akbar. A square inch of skin. One square inch of skin consists of 1,300 nerve cells. And did you know, a square inch of skin consists of 3 yards of blood vessels. When you look at your hand, for example, you have nerves. There are some nerves that you can see that are thick nerves. Did you know that within that there are thin, tiny blood vessels? Within one square inch, there are almost around 3 yards of blood vessels. Did you know that almost around 32 million bacteria call every inch of your skin as home? They have basically made every inch of your skin as their own homes. 32 million good and bad bacteria, because we need good bacteria to function. We need good bacteria as well to function. 32 million bacteria, Allahu Akbar, across your skin, every inch of your skin. Did you know that all the blood in your body passes 400 times through each kidney every single day? The entire amount of blood that is in your body, it passes 400 times through each kidney every single day. Did you know that when you blink one eye, you move over 200 muscles? To blink, just to blink one eye, 200 muscles. And if even one of those muscles were not to work, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala were to cause one of those muscles to malfunction, you will not be able to blink. Sometimes we think high and mighty of ourselves. Oh, I have earned so much. I have built this huge house. I'm running around in an expensive vehicle. If Allah were to just pinch one muscle of yours, you will not be able to blink. Look at how weak we are. Allahu Akbar. Allah is the greatest. And then did you know that if you could save all the times your eyes blink in one lifetime, do you know, throughout your life, you basically blink so many hundreds and millions of times. Like even throughout this lecture, you must have blinked around 100 or 200 times. Without us knowing, we blink, 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 blink. So they state that if you could save all the times your eyes blink in one lifetime, and if you could use all those blinks at once, think about it. Say if you blink 20 million or 100 million times throughout your lifetime, if you save all of that and make it one big blink, okay, one big blink, all the tiny blinks, you make it one big blink, you would be blind, you would see blackness for 1.5 years. That one blink would last 1.5 years, approximately 1.5 years. You would be blink, you would be like this for 1.5 years. If you were to gather all the blinks of your lifetime, average lifetime, Allahu Akbar. In 1 square inch of our hand, we have 9 feet of blood vessels, we have 600 pain sensors, we have 9,000 nerve endings, 36 heat sensors, and 75 pressure sensors in 1 square inch. If you were to prick your hand with a pin, you would immediately feel the pain. Oh, something jabbed me. If a mosquito were to come and land on your hand now and prick you, you would immediately hit it and you would start scratching. You feel the mosquito. So think about it. Within 1 square inch, who sat? Like say when you take an Apple processor, for example, this tiny processor, there are researchers, there are experts, there are engineers who sit down and put every sensor in place. Who put every sensor in place for you within the darkness of the wombs of your mothers? You were in the wombs of your mothers when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created you. Who put these sensors in place? Who put these pain sensors in place? Who put these heat sensors in place? Who put these vessels in place? Other than the Supreme Creator, the King of all kings, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Did you know that on an average, an adult, a human being's heart pumps about 4,000 gallons of blood per day? Which motor, which water pump can handle 4,000 gallons of blood on a daily basis, every single day? You're not putting any effort. You're not sitting at home and pumping. You're not doing anything. You're walking around, you're doing your own thing, and your heart is pumping. 4,000 gallons of blood per day. Allahu Akbar. Without that blood, if your heart were to stop, what happens? Heart attack. The person falls. It is pumping by the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Did you know that your ribs, they move about 5 million times per year every time you breathe? 5 million times every single year. Every time you breathe, 5 million times it moves. Your rib bones move. Did you know that your nose can remember almost around 50,000 different scents? You get the smell of samosa, you know this is samosa. You get the smell of pizza, mashallah, pizza. You get the smell of masroshi, mashallah, masroshi. You know the smell. You get the smell of biryani, biryani. Burger, burger. Perfumes, you know, this is Mont Blanc, this is Dunhill, this is this perfume, that perfume. Itr, you know, this is Oud, this is Amber, mashallah, this is Itr, that Itr. You know, your smell. Bad smells, you know, the garbage truck is going now, this is the garbage smell. You know, this is a bad smell, this smells of fish, this smells of chicken, this smells of beef. Your nose remembers almost around 50,000 different scents, and all of this is connected to your memories. At times, you're walking down a street and you get a familiar smell, and a memory is recalled. You remember, I was here in this masjid and I smelled this smell. Or so and so was wearing this perfume and I remember him now. It is connected to your memory very, very strongly. 50,000 different scents. So Allahu A'lam, there might be a hard disk somewhere inside your nose recording all this information. 50,000 different scents. Did you know that just to take one step, you use 200 muscles, 200 different muscles. When I spoke about muscles earlier in terms of your eyes, those were small muscles. In terms of your legs, there are different sized muscles, huge muscles. You have your hamstrings, you have this muscle, calf muscles, all your muscles that are utilized for one step. Now, this is an amazing fact, the last one. Did you know that if all of your arteries, all of your veins, and all of the capillaries of the human blood system, the blood circulatory system, if all of these veins were laid out, just one human being, your veins, if it were laid out, you know, if all your nerves were taken out and if they were laid joined together and laid out end to end, the total length would be 60,000 miles or 100,000 kilometers. Did you know that that is nearly 2.5 times around planet Earth? If your nerves were taken out and laid out one after the other, the entire length is 2.5 times around the planet Earth. Just one human being. One human being. Who put all of this in place? Who packed everything? You know, sometimes when you take these wires, these long wires, we find it difficult to roll it up and keep it carefully, you know, in a nice place. Who packed all of these nerves in your body? And who packed it in such a way that your blood is flowing without any interruption? Even if one nerve, do you know how blood clots go to the brain? If one nerve gets pinched a little bit, a clot forms and it goes straight to the brain, and then you suffer from a stroke. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us all. One nerve gets blocked a little. Take a hose, a water hose, you plug it to the tap and you want to wash your car, perhaps you drag it 1 kilometer. Somewhere in the middle, if somebody tramples it, water won't come. If someone folds it like this, water won't come. Think about your nerves. Everything has been put in such a way that blood is flowing throughout your body without any interruption. Allahu Akbar. If you study fact after fact, I can go on, the list goes on and on and on. We can go on to iftar if you want, with the amazing facts just about our bodies, and think about the amazing facts around us. Each time you read something mind-boggling like this, رَبَّنَا مَا خَلَقْتَ هَذَا بَاطِلًا سُبْحَانَكَ فَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ. Glory be unto Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He has not created any of this in vain. He has created every single thing for a purpose. The more we study about Allah Azza wa Jal, the more our hearts are filled with the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the consciousness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So my dear brothers and sisters in Islam, this month of Ramadan is an amazing opportunity for you to enhance your levels of taqwa. So study about the knowledge of Islam, study about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, study about the names and attributes of Allah Azza wa Jal. Ponder and reflect about the creation that is around you. Ponder and reflect upon your own body to know more about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The more you know about Allah Azza wa Jal, the more your heart will be filled with the taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the more your heart is filled with the taqwa of Allah Azza wa Jal, you will be successful and victorious in this world as well as the hereafter, as Allah states in the noble Quran, إِنَّ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ mafaza. Indeed, for the people of taqwa is mafaza. Victory, they will be granted victory and success. They will be victorious in this world as well as the hereafter. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us all from the victorious and successful ones. With that, I conclude today's session. And inshallah ta'ala, we will be continuing tomorrow with episode 3, day 3. Same time, same place, Masjid Noor. So I hope to see you all tomorrow, inshallah ta'ala. Jazakumullah khair. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.